I want you to look back here with me now. You know, when talking about how merciful, Jeremiah 3 says, you know, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. I remember the Lord's compassions and His mercies are new every morning. And one fellow said, and by the end of the day, there's no mercies left over. Got to start all over again the next day. And oh, He gives us brand new mercies every day. We need mercy. It's what I want. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy, grace. It's what I want. God giving it to me. All right, back over here. In 1 Timothy 6. You remember last week we talked about these ungodly men, that they taught things other than the doctrine of Christ, didn't consent to wholesome words, how they was in it for the money, proud, act like they knew everything, but they didn't do anything. And that word doting means they were sick. Sick. So sick of over their own self-glory and self-honor and self-promotion and railings and evil suspicions. But it's said down there in the last part of verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness. They suppose that the more money you made, the more godly you were. And I read something today about a TV preacher, Kenneth Copeland. You know, he tells everybody, send me money. Send me money. And God will bless you. You send me 10%. You give God's first 10%, God will bless you. And you know how wealthy they are? $760 million. Now that's godliness to them. That's godliness to them. You remember those folks that had air-conditioned dog houses for their dogs. But they was on television robbing everybody else blind. They're like the Pharisees. They're like the Pharisees, you know, who robbed widows' houses. Robbed widows' houses. And that's what they do. That's what they do. And they make people think that if you give to me, then you're going to get even greater. But oh no, that's not so. But the difference between them, lost religionists, money-grabbing preachers, and TV evangelists, and anybody else in this world that suppose gain is godliness, stay away from them. Stay away from them. But he comes around, the difference in them and the difference in us is this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. They suppose godliness is gain. We say godliness with contentment. That's gain. To have godliness with contentment. And I tell you, I do know this. When he says godliness with contentment is great gain, let me ask you something. Are you content with God being who He is? You know, if you've got godliness, if God's in you, Christ is in you, Christ is your interest, Christ is your hope, Christ is your salvation, are you content with God being who He is? Are you content with God saving you the way He does? Are you content with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and the salvation that He accomplished? Huh? Are you satisfied and you content with how God gives you life every day? Are you content with what God does with you and does with you every day? Are you content with how God treats you? Are you content with what God's done for you? Would you change God ever? Would you ever change your salvation in any way? Would you ever change how your relationship with God based on Christ in any way? Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We say Christ is all and in all. Are we content with that? If we got that, What else do you need? You know, we're the heirs of God. The world's heirs of the world. They suppose gain is God. The more money I get, the more godly I get. That's what they say. Oh, listen, we're heirs of God. Let them inherit their money. Let them make their money. Then it's all, it's like the James said, their riches are going to canker with them. And I tell you, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd rather be rich in faith than to have a pocket full of money.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? Oh, to be rich in faith. And God be our portion. Well, there were him where I said, God is my portion. You know, we go and we get in line and we say, listen, you know, you go to a place, you know, and they dish out your portion, you get a portion, they put a little on here, a little on there. Well, listen, you know what he said? God is my portion.
Amen.
How big a portion you reckon he is? Oh, we're contented with our lot. We're thankful for what we have. Because in Christ, all things are worth having. They're all worth having. I want you to keep 1 Timothy. And look with me in Psalm 103. Look over here in Psalm 103. I want you to look at this with me for just a little bit. You know, I get, the older I get, the more emotional I get, I guess. And the more needy I get, the more needy I get. You think you would have learned a little something, but I feel like I'm going backwards. You know, but look what he said here now, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget. Don't do whatever you forget. Don't forget this. Don't forget all his benefits. And here's one of them. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Especially the disease of sin. Who redeemed your life from destruction. He crowns you with, puts on your head loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good. With good. Oh my. He satisfies. That's what he's talking about. That's what David said. I'm content. God satisfies me. He's my portion. He's my portion. And I tell you, that's why he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I tell you, Christ himself is sufficient, and that's all we need. And then let me give you down here, but godliness with contentment. Oh, what a great gain it is. Now I tell you, this is, Paul said over in one place, he said, you know, I've learned how to be content. Whatsoever state I'm in. Now, this being content, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. I'm not saying it is. But I do know this about us as God's people. We're content with God. We're content with our salvation. We're content with God's Word. We're content with Christ. We're content with the blood. We're content with everything God does for us and the life He gives us and the life He orders for us. And we would never, ever, ever, we're like Job. We're not going to question God. And look what he goes on to say. And this is why godliness with contentment is great gain. Look what he said in verse 7. We brought nothing into this world. What did you bring when you got here? I'm going to tell you one thing you brought with you when you was born in this world. Brought you sin.
Amen.
That's all you brought into this world. You was born with it. That's the only thing that we come in. The only original, Scott Rich said this so many times, the only original thing that we have in this world that belongs to us and us alone, and that's our sin. Born with it. And that's what we come into this world, but we brought nothing into this world but sin. And it's certain, certain we're not carrying anything out. Not carrying a thing in the world out here. Job said, naked I came into this world. Naked I came from my mother's womb. And naked I'm going to leave this world. He said, I came without nothing. And I'm going to leave without nothing. And you know, when he got, I'm going to let a cat out of the bag here, but when Job got to the end of his life, you know, he lost 10 children. Lost his home, lost his wealth. But by the end of his life, God gave him 10 more children, and God doubled what he had to start with. And you know what he said? He said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. And I tell you what, Job, when he died and left this world, he left every bit of it behind. And I, you know, whatever we got in this world, I tell you, oh my. I tell you, if we're going to go our earthly possessions and worldly things, they have no value after death. And when somebody you love dies, they sure enough don't have no value. Bruce Crabtree right now, he said, I know how everything in this world is nothing but vanity.
Yeah.
Vanity.
Right.
It's vanity. When you got nobody, you know, in this world and all of its baubles and its toys and its the things that people hunger and thirst after. Oh my, but when a man dies, he ain't gonna know nothing but Christ unless he knows Christ. And oh my soul, to leave this world and hear a believer going to be with Christ, we rejoice in that. Millionaires are going to leave everything they got. We're going to leave our houses. We're going to leave our children. We're going to leave our clothes. We're going to leave our money. We're going to leave our everything behind. We're going to leave our loved ones behind. Oh, we didn't bring nothing but sin, and bless the Lord's name that He took care of our sin for us from the first one we come out of the womb to the last one when we take our last breath. Oh, I tell you what. Now I can live and die with that. And I, you know, but to all be forgiven of sin, to be an heir of Christ, that's the greatest value. Oh, the world, I tell you, as soon as a man learns this, as soon as a man learns of what he has in Christ, and Christ is everything, he'll cease to be concerned so much about his flesh and his earthly possessions. And you know what he'll want to do? And he'll do it. He'll say, Lord, I want to lay hold on eternal life. I want to lay hold on eternal life. I want to lay hold on eternal life.
Yeah.
And to lay hold on something, you've got to turn loose of something else.
Yeah.
You can't have Christ in the world. You can't have Christ in self. You can't have Christ and be self-righteous. You just can't have Him and be self, so self-centered. You just can't do it. Oh my, and I'll tell you something else about God's people that they're content with. And this is something else about this. We know, and this, and He said, we know this, that all things work together for good, not for everybody. Work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Huh? Get your stake and tie her down right there and say, that's it for me. You say, boy, things sometimes get tough. I've got what God wills for us. That's all right, ain't it? He's God. He's too wise to do wrong. He's too good to be unkind. Oh my. And then look what he said. I tell you what, we got to get a hold of this thing. There ain't nothing we're taking out of here. Ain't nothing we're going to take out of here. And having food and raiment, verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Oh my. Now I got to thinking about this today, having food to eat. Every one of us can go to our refrigerator and get out some incredibly good food, having food to eat, abundance of food to eat. And you know how much food you reckon we've eaten in our lifetime? Having food, and listen to this now, and clothes to wear. I wonder how many suits of clothes, how many clothes we have wore out? How many clothes have we bought? How many clothes have we thrown away? How many clothes? And that's what he said. Having food and raiment. I mean, these things have to, they just come over and over and over. And then look what he says. Let us therewith be content. Having something to eat, clothes to wear, a house to dwell in, we ought to really be content for that. Huh?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. God gives us all these things and blesses us to have all these things. And and I go home and sit down in a good chair. Have something to eat. Get up and put on good, clean clothes of a day. Sit down to a good meal. Good bed to sleep in. Oh my. We ought to be the most contented people in the world. Look over and keep 1 Timothy and look at Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews 13. You know, that's what I was telling you a minute ago about Paul said, I've learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to be in want, and I know how to be content. These are things we have to learn. But look what he said here in verse 5. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that word conversation means your manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Let your life be without covetousness. Don't go around saying, I want, or, you know. And be content with such things as you have. How many things do we have? How many things do we have? You think about how many things do we have? We got lots of things. Lots of things. I'm like Jack Shanks. If they made reversible shoes, I'd have one pair. If they reversed, I'd have black and brown. If they reversed, I'd have one pair of shoes. I wish it was that way, but it ain't. But here's the thing. Don't go around talking about, I want this and I want that and I got to have this and I got that. Be content with such things as you have. Because this is what he said. For he has said, everything else will leave you. Your health will leave you. Your clothes will wear out. Your house will start falling apart. For he has said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Oh, everything else will forsake you one of these days. So I'll tell you what, we're going to turn around and say confidently, boldly, the Lord's my helper. I'm not going to fear. Let man do what he wants to. Oh my. Here's the thing that makes us content. We're rich in grace. Oh, so rich in grace. Rich in love, rich in joy and faith. Whatever our earthly condition is. Huh? It's nice to have a home. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I thank God for it. And the will of God is everything has to do with our present state. God's will has to do right now with everything that's happening in our lives. We ain't got a thing in this world that God's will did not order for us.
Amen.
Nothing. And I tell you, Henry Mahan used to say all the time, boy, whatever you possess, hold on to it real, real lightly. Because it's going to leave you. Going to leave you. And oh my, that's why he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then look what he says down here now in verse 9. Then he goes, he talked about godliness, contentment, not having anything. We brought nothing, we're going to leave nothing. And so what we got in this world, food, clothes, a place to live, just be content with what God's given us. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh my. You know, there's nothing wrong with desire. Nothing wrong. Nothing at all. But the desire to make it your life's motive to become rich, to become wealthy in this world, instead of wealthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. He exhorted believers to be content with what they have and always consider worldly possessions in their proper light. They're just vanities and fleeting vanities. And now he tells us how dangerous the pursuit of riches is. It's a dangerous thing to pursue riches. It really is. That's what he says here. They'll fall into temptation. They that desire to be rich. They that will be rich. That's my will to be rich. I have piles of money. Oh, I have piles of money. But he said, oh my. But here you are. If God gives you anything, these carnal riches won't amount to anything. But I do know this. If God's promised prospered you for His glory, and don't set your heart on nothing but God and Christ. And if you're covetous, that's idolatry. And he said, a man that would be rich, falls into temptation. He gets it in his mind. I've got to be wealthy. I've got to be wealthy. I've got to have lots and lots of money. I've got to have enough. They say now it takes $2.2 million to retire. Well, we're a bunch of paupers here. How many know I'm going to retire that much money? But that's what they tell us now. So what people out here, what they're doing, they just grub. Oh my. And then look what he says. They fall into temptation and a snare. You know what a snare is? A snare is something they use to catch an animal. And that snare catches it and it entraps it. It can't get away. And that's what he says. The man that will be rich, he gets snared. The desire for riches and wealth and the desire to be extremely wealthy and have all kinds of riches, it's like a snare. It gets his soul, it catches his soul, it catches his mind, it catches his will, it catches his heart. And oh my. Oh my. And it puts, look what he goes on to say. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. I know a man one time, he's dead and gone now, but I know a couple of men. He was a pastor of a church. And our first pews that we got from here, from out of the building that he was a pastor in. And he was early as a young man. And he decided, he said, I got tired of scratching with the chickens. That's how he described it. And he said, I went and watered with the hogs. And he went and he became a millionaire. Became a millionaire. At 47 years old, he was a millionaire. But he was one of the most miserable people you ever met in your life. He was miserable. And not only was he miserable, he'd make you miserable when you was around him. Because he was so discontent. He was so miserable. He couldn't go back to where he started. He could not never go back to that place where he left. And look what it says here. And hurtful lust, look, he said, drown. They go down under. They drown. In destruction and perdition. It'll drown them. They'll sink under the weight of that. Huh? And oh my. Satan, oh, a trap, foolish flesh, the devil. Oh, lust for money, wealth, power. Oh my, it'll imprison a man. And I tell you something, if you know what our Lord said about riches? He said, riches are deceitful. Two deceitful things in the Scriptures. The deceitfulness of sin and the deceitfulness of riches. They both will promise you something and they can't deliver. They'll promise you, sin will promise you that you can go this far and you know, and then you'll go so far with it. Gotcha. And riches comes up there and he sets it, says, boy, I'll tell you, look at that. Next thing you know, you're drowned. And then look what else he says now in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, it's the lack of money that's the root of all evil. Needless to say, he was begging for it. But here he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of evil. The love of it.
Amen.
The love of it. We all have to have money. And I've told you time and time again, all that money is for is to exchange money for something else. That's all money's for. You exchange your paycheck for a house, exchange your paycheck for a car, exchange your paycheck for food, change your paycheck for clothes on your back. You just take money and you use it to get what you need. And that's what it amounts to. Is that not right? It's just a means of exchange. And so why does anybody need any more than what they need? That's just my opinion. One man's opinion. But look down here what else he says. For the love of money, that is the root of all evil. And if we can find this only to silver and gold, we'll miss the apostle's message. Because what he's talking about here, that when you start getting greedy for gold, you know what it'll do? It'll make you produces fraud. You'll start lying. You'll start cheating. You'll start having hatred over people having more than you. More scared to death somebody's going to take something that you got. And it'll involve every crime that you can imagine. And this insatiable desire for earthly treasure and possessions has caused some believers and fellowship that was in the fellowship to depart. Because look what he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which hath, while some coveted after, and covetousness is idolatry, they have erred from the faith. And you look at that in the margin, that says, have been seduced. Money seduced them. Have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh my. You know, it says over in Ecclesiastes 5:10, you don't need to look at it, but he said, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with silver. He that loveth gold will never be satisfied with gold. Never will. There was a famous movie star. He's gone now too. And he started after he had made so much, he said, you only have so much money and you don't need any more. So he started giving it away. He started giving an incredible amount of money away to charity. He's dead and gone and still giving money away. And all he had, he had $4 million. He said, that's enough for anybody. And he's a great movie star. And he's dead and gone, but I mean his charity keeps on going on. There's not very many people like that. I've got enough. That's sufficient. And I tell you, then he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you talk about love, love is a heart emotion. He's talking about the heart here, the love of money. Love is a heart emotion. It's a condition, it denotes a craving or desire or concern for that inner person. That's what the heart is. So this love of money or anything possession that God didn't give you, he says it's the root of all evil. That was Satan's sin. You know, Satan said, I will ascend above the throne of the Most High. He said, I said in my heart, I'll go above God. He's had this emotion in his heart. I'm going to be above God. God throwed him down. And that's why, you know, Israel in the wilderness, they murmured against God, and God gave them clothes. God gave them, you know, when they left Israel, and when they left Egypt, their clothes never got old, their shoes never wore out, and every morning they had angels' food, bread from heaven. And every evening they had quail. They wanted meat and they wanted bread, and God gave them both every single day. And what did they say? I hate this light bread. I'm so sick of, you know, I want to go back to Egypt. And that's what happens to these people with the love of money. I want to go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. Oh, that's Adam's sin. And so we come back to this one statement. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not just contentment. Now listen to me. A hobo is content with being lazy and sorry. There's a lot of people that is content with being lazy and sorry and living in a shack and not caring. There's people that just, you know, there's a lot of people content. But contentment with godliness, that's what we're talking about. All right, let me give you one more thing and I'm done. And then look what he said down here in verse 11. Oh, he just talked about godless contentment. And oh, we didn't have nothing. Then look at all these people. What happens to them when they love money and go after money and desire to be rich. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh my, that's what he said. Flee this thing. Whatever you see, listen, you flee. Oh, God, help us all as believers. Flee pride. Flee covetousness. Flee worldly ambition. Oh, God, help us not to be rebellious in any way. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Follow after true godliness, faith and meekness and temperance and love and all the things that make up a believer's character and nature. Oh my. Follow after faith. Oh my. And that's why our Lord asked this question. What shall it profit a man if he gain this whole world and lose his soul? That happened. You know, it happened in the Scripture several times. Several times. That rich man, he said, oh my goodness. I've got so much stuff, I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build some big ones. I've got so much goods laid up, oh soul, you've got it made. God said, oh you fool. Oh you fool. I'm coming after your soul tonight. Then, who's those things going to be? Huh? Oh, God, help us to seek after Christ, faith, kingdom of God, love. Oh, if we're going to seek after anything, seek after the things of Christ as we need to be as believers. Seek after them with all our heart. And everything else, that's just cherry on the ice cream. Everything else. Our Father. Oh, our Father. Oh, blessed be your holy, glorious, righteous name. Oh, Lord, you're precious to our souls. Your love is precious to our souls. Your grace is precious to our souls. The love of Christ is precious to our souls. And Lord, put it in our hearts to desire, flee all these things that would dishonor you. Don't let us be covetous. Don't let us dishonor you. Oh God, let our conversation, let our manner of life be filled with the words of Christ, the words of grace, words of love and kindness and forgiveness. And Lord, we again pray for our dear sisters tonight and our dear brothers that's going through a great trial, a great fight of afflictions. Lord, restore them in your good time, in your good providence. Bless these dear saints. Keep them, preserve them. Those who are going to be traveling, those who are traveling today, Dion and her family and Luther, please give them traveling mercies. And those that are going to be leaving this weekend, God, give them traveling mercies. Please see them safe back home with us so we can all worship together again to the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It really does, don't it? Huh? I'll see you Sunday, God.